ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ टुडेस् कृष्ण जयन्ती बर्त् आफ् वि सेलिब्रेट् कृष्णास् बर्त् इन् इण्डिया सो
वसुदेवसुतं देवम् वसुदेवसुतं देवम् कंसचाणोरमर्दनम् कंसचाणोरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम्
देवकी परमानन्दम्
कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्
कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्
ॐ यच्छन्दसां ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोभ्याध्यमृता प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
वि हेड् हिस्टारिकल् कृष्ण We also had Krishna. Krishna also means, gives another meaning. It is very important day for us. Why? Because we celebrate. Jayanti means birth. Feminine gender word. Jananam also means birth. Because most of you know the Sanskrit word. Jananam birth, new gender word. Jayanti, which means birth, which is feminine gender word. It's a Krishnasya Jayantihi, Krishna Jayantihi. Okay, Shashti Tatpurusha Samasa Shabda. So, birth of Krishna. Who is this Krishna who was born? Because we also had a historical Krishna. Maybe we celebrate somebody's birth, you know, birthday. The word is celebrated. But we say Krishna is God's birthday. Krishna's Bhagwan for us. Means what does it mean? Because we are studying Bhagavad Gita and Krishna is the Guru, Jagat Guru. Jagat Guru means what? The foremost of the Gurus. And here, Krishna, the source of knowledge, is personified as the very teacher here. He is a teacher. So, it is not simply the birth of a person. Look at the root Krish. Krish. With the affix na becomes Krishnaha. And what is the verb you have? Karshati. Karshati means plows, plowing. That is why the Krishihi, if you say what is agriculture, means Krishi. Karshati means plows. Plowing means what? Pulling, dragging, tempting, attracting, gravitating. So many words, meanings are there. Very synonyms. So, Krishnaha means what? Attractive. That which attracts. So, anything which is attractive is Krishnaha. But attractive of attractive and attractor, one who attracts. That which attractive, attractor, the attracting. What is it which is attract? What which attracts? Which, draws all the attention. Center of attraction. Suppose whatever you are attracted towards, one may be attracted towards certain things, other person may be attracted towards something else. I can be attracted towards something else. Things which attract me need not attract you. Things you are attracted to need not attract me. We have our own things of attraction and interest. But there is only one thing which attracts all the minds of all the people, okay, of all the times, everywhere. What is that? Anandaha. Anandaha. Therefore, Krishnaha literally means all attractive. What is that all attractive, attracting, attractor? Krishnaha. Understand? Happiness. Therefore, Krishnaha is equal to all attractive. All attractive is equal to happiness. Therefore, Krishnaha is equal to happiness. Anandaha. In fact, fullness. Limitlessness. Limitlessness, fullness, happiness. Because you have to use the word happiness. We say simply limitlessness. You can't really understand that. Fullness. Krishnaha. And therefore, when you say Krishna Jayantihi, next question comes. How can happiness be born? Why? We have been studying happiness is a synonym of fullness. Fullness is a synonym of limitlessness. Limitlessness means being free from all limitations, which means now spatially, time-wise, object-wise, being limitless. Understand? And limitlessness is the nature of the reality, because reality and happiness, limitlessness are not different things, one and the same. And we have been studying reality has been eternal, beginningless, endless and changeless. Therefore, how is it possible for happiness to be born? How can you say celebrate? How can you say that? Reality is eternal. How can you celebrate the birth of an eternal thing? Is it possible? No. Therefore, what does it mean? Therefore, it says, therefore, Krishnaha means all limitlessness, the absolute reality. Okay? Happiness. So, on this, discovering this happiness, how can you discover happiness? Happiness is already there in the form of the very reality. Okay? And what is that reality? It is pure knowledge. When I say pure knowledge, the source of knowledge, the origin of knowledge. Okay? And the reality which is of the nature of knowing, knowledge is what? Pure knowledge. The pure knowledge is always there. The pure knowledge, the reality never becomes absent. If it never becomes absent, it's always present. We say, that is why we call it eternal also. But that knowledge, the pure knowledge, is a total, I call it total knowledge. What do I mean by total knowledge? The source of all knowledge is total knowledge. When the total knowledge, the source of all knowledge, the pure knowledge, the reality, when, okay, it is unmanifest. Unmanifest, then the whole universe becomes unmanifest. Pure knowledge, the total knowledge being unmanifest, is total ignorance. Okay, otherwise we can use the word. And the universe becomes unmanifest. How to understand that? You have to analyze the deep sleep state. in deep sleep state, what happens? Deep sleep state, for the one who is asleep, the universe is not there. That means what? The universe is, but the universe is as good as non-existent for the one who is asleep. When I say the universe is as good as non-existent, the universe is unmanifest. Why for him it is as non-existent? Why it is unmanifest? Because the universe exists, but the knowledge that the universe is not there. The knowledge of the universe being there is not there. Knowledge is not there. The knowledge of the universe being there is not there. Therefore, even though universe is as good as non-existent. When I say the universe, what do I mean? The knowledge that I am also is universe. Why anything which is an object of knowledge is universe. The knowledge that I am is also universe. Okay? Therefore, with the mind. The whole jagat, when I say, including the knowledge that I am, I don't need to say anything more than that. The whole jagat is unmanifest. The whole jagat is unmanifest means what? This whole jagat is as good as non-existent. When they say whole jagat is as good as non-existent, if a so-called I is also what? As good as non-existent in deep sleep state. Then, but as long as you are asleep, you don't know anything. When you wake up from sleep, you analyze the deep, there was an experience. You can recall your deep sleep state experience and you see, my God, nothing was there. They said nothing was there. The whole jagat was unmanifest. Including what? Me. Which me? The knowledge that I am. Understand? The whole jagat being not there, okay, the knowledge that the jagat is being not there alone is known. That means there is something which is there, which is present, because of the presence of which, okay, the knowledge that the jagat is, no, being not there is known. That is pure consciousness and pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is there, but it is how? Okay? Unmanifest. Pure knowledge alone is there. Then we say the knowledge is unmanifest. So knowledge being unmanifest is total ignorance. Okay, total knowledge being unmanifest is what? Total ignorance. We call it in Sanskrit language avidya. Does it mean total ignorance? Does it mean absence of knowledge? No. Okay, knowledge being unmanifest is what? Ignorance. Well, why do you say total ignorance? How do we say total ignorance? Because the knowledge of the world being there, the total universe being not there, is not there. Understand? The knowledge of the total universe being there is not there. The knowledge is not there. Knowledge of what is not there? The total universe being there is not there. Understand? Therefore, this total ignorance of what? The universe. This total ignorance of the universe. It's called avidya. When you wake up from sleep, the knowledge that I am is manifest. the knowledge the world is also there. When the knowledge is, Jagat is manifest. When the knowledge is not there, Jagat is unmanifest. Understand? The manifestation of knowledge is manifestation of universe. Therefore, universe is nothing but the manifestation of knowledge. In fact, the whole Jagat is just the knowledge. And now we say, this is total ignorance and total knowledge. Even though I use the word ignorance, please understand, ignorance of anything or total ignorance is not the absence of knowledge, it is the knowledge being unmanifest. Knowledge is unmanifest, is ignorance. With reference to every mind, suppose there is a knowledge that I am, and there is knowledge of so many objects, so many things. So knowledge of a given object, knowledge of a given object, I said this is a book, and this has a wrapper, this is green in color. So any given piece of information, knowledge, is what? Vritti. Vritti means what? Thought modification. Vritti jnanam or vritti we say. Suppose I know this is a book. What book is this? Upanishad book. What does it contain? If I say I do not know, then there is ignorance. So one small object, knowledge of a given object, may be there, it's vritti jnanam. And of the same, okay, there can be ignorance of so many details of the object. If this is a rose, this is orange in color, peach in color, it belongs to a given family, but I don't know why it is pink in color. Okay, there's so many, I know so much about given object. I also know that I do not know so much about a given object. Then ignorance is what? So ignorance also is what? Is vritti. So knowledge of a given object is a vritti. Ignorance of a given object also is what? Given object, a given detail of a given object also is a vritti. Ignorance is a vritti, knowledge also is a vritti. So that knowledge of a given object or a given detail of a given object is manifestation of fraction of total knowledge. And ignorance of a given detail of a given object is what? The unmanifest knowledge. That is why knowledge is always there, but it remains covered. How much has already been discovered, all the knowledge is already there. And that knowledge, all knowledge, total knowledge is consciousness. That is the source of knowledge, is already there. Everything remains covered. That is why we say unmanifest. And study, if I study physics, I am ignorant of many physics laws. If I study physics, the study helps me to, doesn't remove anything. Brings to manifestation, the knowledge of given laws. It means what? Knowledge is already there. Physics study does not create the physics knowledge. It helps to bring to manifestation the fraction of the total knowledge to manifestation. So, vritti jnanam, any piece of information, any knowledge of any given object is manifestation of a fraction of total knowledge. Any piece of ignorance is the knowledge being unmanifest. Is it clear? Therefore, that consciousness, which is Jnanam Brahma, Jnana Swarupam, alone is free from all limitations as the existence, limitlessness. But this, the absolute reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, which is manifest as knowledge, and which is manifest in the form of manifesting as knowledge, through knowledge is manifest as everything, is already there. But that reality, one has to understand as this very self. So the reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is available for recognition only in one's own mind as the very self, as the very meaning of the word I. When one understands that self, ascertains what it is, then one also understands what limitlessness is. Similarly, through the study of the Shastram, with the help of the teacher, living a disciplined life, I should say that without living a life, with disciplined life, there is no way of living a disciplined, clean life. Studying the Shastram with the help of a teacher, competent teacher, Sampradayavit, helps to manifest what? Helps or brings to manifestation the knowledge of the subject of knowledge. Everything, the whole jagat is an object of knowledge. The reality is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. So knowledge of anything rises as a vritti, as a thought modification. Knowledge of any object rises as the vritti, as a thought. So knowledge of the subject also is what? Rises as the thought. Then we also know, the reality is not an objective, is not objectifiable, imperceptible, cannot be known, cannot be experienced, cannot be realized. That means, cannot be known means what? It cannot be known as an object of knowledge. Okay, but it can be known as a subject of knowledge by studying the Shastram. So Shastra study only brings to manifestation what? The knowledge of the source of knowledge, or the knowledge of the subject of knowledge, which is self-knowledge. So knowing the self is discovering the self is discovering limit happiness. Therefore, in fact, discovering happiness which is there as the very swarupam of the self is birth of happiness being brought to manifestation is what? Through the discovery of the self is Krishna Jayanti. And you're supposed to pray. And Shankaracharya says, and there's a Krishna Ashtakam, he doesn't say anything else, okay? I don't remember all the verses by heart, but I have forgot. Shriya Srishto Vishnu Sthirachara Guru Veda Vishayo Dhyam Sakshi Shuddho Harirasat Gadi Shankhi Chakri Vimalavana Mali. It ends the beautiful line. Sharanyo Lokesho Mama Bhavatu Krishna Kshi Vishayaha Mama Bhavatu Krishna Kshi Vishayaha Krishna Mama Akshi Vishayaha Bhavatu. May Krishna's form be revealed to me. Okay, Krishna's Swarupam, the meaning of the word Krishna becoming, being revealed, known, discovered, is what? Krishna Jayanti. So Shankara said, there's a prayer. That's good. Are all of you feel a little tired or what?
It's very warm. It's very interesting.
Because you don't know what Krishna Jayanti is, because we have in India, I used to gala time, Krishna Jayanti means we have a lot of bhakshanams and eatables and a lot of stuff. And then, and we have this, in the villages now we have this three pots and one clay pot full of yogurt and then one clay pot of milk and then butter. We all eat butter today. All the children eat a lot of butter and then things. And then we have long poles. And then, it's made with this castor oil, and all the young boys will climb and then fall, and then they will get a lot of gifts from people in the temples. A lot of fun. That is why just okay. So, that's the difference, but still, this is the Krishna Jayanti, and how we're supposed to pray. Celebrating is praying to the Lord, oh Lord, please. Reveal thy Swarupam to me. May you be born in my mind. May you become manifest in my mind. Okay, that is what is like, the womb, the embryo is covered, it's covered. It has to be covered. So when the knowledge is already there. Pure knowledge is there. It means covered. What is it which covers? Ignorance. No knowledge is created. It's covered. Ignorance covers it. Okay, so happiness also is there. Because knowledge is covered means ignorance also is, when happiness also is covered. Isn't it? It has to be discovered. Discovering is what? So knowledge becoming manifest is discovering. So what is it which will bring it to manifestation? Study. Study, prayer, worship, everything together. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Let us go to the 21st verse today. So okay, means what I mean... Because it's very difficult. Now we always think of Navanita Chora, Nanda Mukunda, Navanita Chora, Radhe Govinda. We sing bhajans. Again, Krishna is known as Navanita Chora. Very interesting. Why? Because I don't want Krishna to be known as a thief. Okay, that's what I want to say. Choraha. Chorayati iti choraha. Kim chorayati? What does he steal? Butter. Krishna has been known as a thief. Who used to steal all butter? Navanita Choraha. And it's very interesting to listen to the mischief, how mischievous Krishna was, how naughty he was and all that. But Navanitam literally means anything, Nava means new. Neetam means, because you must have not heard it, but Neetam means the participle of Nidhatu. Neetam means brought, taken, led. Neetam means brought up, taken out of. That is the meaning. So Navaneetam means what? Newly brought, newly taken out, newly brought up. Anything which is newly brought out is Navaneetam. It need not be only butter. Anything which is newly brought out is Navaneetam. But here, when you churn the milk, yogurt, fermented yogurt, milk. And then what comes out, what is brought up, what is taken out, is what? Butter. Here, Navaneetam means butter. And Navaneetam, is it created? When you churn, does the churning create the butter? No. Churning is only Nimittam, okay? It only helps, tool, means for the butter which is already there to come up. Churning. It's already there. And the butter comes up. You don't know, you don't know the word churning, no? You know churning? Because churning means, for me, I don't know the mixer and all that. For me, churning means we do like this. This is what is churning. We keep, you know, a big pot full of yogurt and water, and then we churn like this in our villages. And the butter will come up. So it's already there. So butter, navaneetam, what is brought up newly, is not a new stuff. It's only bringing up of the stuff which is already there. It's already there. It's butter. And here, therefore, navaneetam is what? Knowledge of this self. Butter stands for what? Knowledge of this self, or self-knowledge. So knowledge of anything is already there, which is unmanifest. And knowledge of the self also is what? Knowledge of object is unmanifest. Knowledge of subject also is unmanifest. Understand? It has to manifest. When the mind, the extrovert mind becomes introvert, knowledge of the self can manifest. So, for this knowledge of the self, which is already there, in the very source of knowledge, in the very subject, knowledge of the subject, for it to manifest, to surface, what you need to do? Churning of the mind. You churn the mind. And all the thoughts, you know, splash and then jump and all that. And you churn, and lost. Where you stop, no? Touch, no? As Swamiji says beautifully, if you press the thought, you end up in consciousness. You press the wave, end up in water. Press it. It comes out like a fruit from juice comes out like that. Like that. The knowledge that I am. The thought. You press all the thoughts, no? Like that, end up in pure knowledge. Shuddha Chaitanyam. Consciousness, which is there always, without winking the eyes. Knowing nothing being there, knowing the dream being there, knowing the Jagat being there, knowing the Jagat being not there, knowing the knowledge I am being there, knowing the knowledge that I am being not there, always there. That consciousness is the self. You end up by churning all the thoughts, you end up what? Churning means then? You end up in consciousness. All the thoughts end. Where? When the knowledge that I am as a dead end of the mind, that thought. There you discover what consciousness is. Therefore, through the churning of the thoughts, and you, what comes out is what? Oh, I the self am the consciousness. That knowledge manifests. Yes, navaneetam. But this knowledge, okay, the self-knowledge, where was it hidden? Before it became manifest, where was it hidden? Who was hiding it? The one who hides it is as good as a thief. Suppose I take Rodney's mic and put it behind. I'm hiding it. The one who hides it is as good as a thief. No knowledge is outside of fullness, consciousness. So knowledge of this self, until it became manifest, until it becomes manifest, where it remains hidden, is in fullness, in consciousness, in reality, in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is said to be who? No. Choraha. Navanita Choraha means what? one who hides the knowledge. Why? Not hiding. The one in whom knowledge remains hidden. Knowledge remains unmanifest. The source of knowledge, the fullness, wherein the knowledge of anything remains hidden, anything remains unmanifest. Knowledge of anything being unmanifest is knowledge remaining hidden. Knowledge being hidden. So similarly, self-knowledge, the knowledge of object, knowledge of subject also remains unmanifest. The same knowledge remains hidden. For Krishna is who now? Navanita Chauraha is equal to the one in whom the knowledge of anything, the knowledge of the self remains hidden, remains unmanifest. Is Navanita Chauraha. What we do? We eat lot of butter today. Why? Eating butter means what? Signifies we all have the luxury of reveling self-knowledge. Eating butter means what? Having luxury of reveling in self-knowledge. We also put some, we mix sugar in the butter and all of us eat. We make nice cream and we also do naivedyam and we eat butter. Doesn't matter, even if we are dieting or fat, we'll take care of next day, we eat. So eating butter means what? Enjoying knowledge. No? Having the luxury of reveling in knowledge. That is butter eating. You know what is Navanita? What do you mean by being chora? The word chora? Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. We'll go straight to second chapter. I'm sorry, Krishna Jayanti makes me talk something. Isn't it in the 11th verse? श्री भगवान उवाच अशोच्यानन्द शोचस्वम् अथ कं घातयति हन्तिकम्. So from the 11th verse onwards, Krishna started unfolding the nature of the self. Why? Because Arjuna can be relieved of all his problem only when he understands the whole jagat is mithya. All the life which we mistake for the absolutely real, he should understand this as being mithya. For him to understand the whole life, all the whole jagat and the life, the experiences, to understand it being mithya, he has to see the what is absolutely real. Therefore, he started and how to understand the absolute reality as the very self. Therefore, Krishna started unfolding the nature of the self. And here we've seen many verses already been seeing. It's only to enhance the clarity of what has been already understood. This verse again continues to say, Yaha Yenam Ajam Yaha Yenam Veda. He who knows this self to be what? Vinashinam Ajam Avyayam. So he, one who knows this self as indestructible, eternal, unborn and indeclinable, such a person, who does he kill? Who can he activate to kill? And how does he kill? How does he activate another person? Here these questions actually, Kamhanti. Kamhanti means whom does he kill? Kamghata is he? Whom does he make, you know, activate to kill another person? How does he kill? These are not actual questions. These questions should be understood as what? Actually, they only object. They only say, whenever the questions are used as objections, akshepaarthe prashnaha. You mean whenever the questions are presented as objections, it's impossible for one to kill another person. Or to activate, activating also is an action, in fact. Whether I do it or make other person do it, both are actions on the part of the one who does. Therefore, it is impossible for the one who do it. For whom? For the one who knows, for a jnani. Who is a jnani? One who knows the self. One knows the self as what? Avinashi. For a jnani, self is avinashi, indestructible. You know that vinashaha yasya nasti saha avinashi. Vinashaha destruction. Vinashaha yasya nasti saha avinashi. The one who is free from destruction, one who is indestructible is avinashi. Ajaha na jayate iti ajaha. That which is not born, unborn, birthless, because eternal. And also avyayaha, that which is not subject to any decay or any modifications, any changes. So one who knows the self as the avyayaha atma, ajaha atma or avinashi atma, such a person alone, it's impossible for him to do any action. Here, act of killing is only used as upalakshanam. Upalakshanam means what? The person who knows the self is completely free from doership. How he is free from, what do we mean by the jnani being free from doership? The jnani is free from the notion that I am the doer. How the jnani is free from the notion that I am the doer? I'm repeating it. The jnani is free from doership. Not only the act of killing. The act of killing and the activating someone to kill, these are used as upalakshanams. It is impossible for him to kill. That is implied through this akshepartha prashnaha, through these questions. Not only act of killing, it is impossible for him to do any karma. That means what? That means he is free from doership. Why a jnani is free from doership? Because he is free from the notion that I am the doer. Why he is free from the notion that I am the doer? Because he has resolved his identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Now he has resolved his identity with this self, consciousness. He has given up, he is free from the aham buddhi, I notion, the body, mind, sense complex. I mean, his I notion has been resolved in what? In consciousness. Therefore, he is free from the notion that I am the doer. Therefore, it is impossible for him to do any karma. Then, does it mean he does not do any karma at all? No. Jnani is free from doership. He is free from the notion that he is the doer, but still he performs the actions. It is impossible for one to remain without doing any action. Everyone must be doing actions. Jnani also is doing actions. But what does it mean here? Being free from the notion that I am the doer is being free from doership. That is what is in fact said here. A sarva karma sannyasaha. Say that. Sarva karma sannyasaha. Sarva karma sannyasaha means not giving up the actions, but giving up the notion that I am the doer. And how can one give up the notion that I am the doer? Just by saying, okay, I have given up the notion that I am the doer. Not simply saying, by understanding the self being free from doership. How? By understanding the self, the nature of the self being actionlessness. The one who knows the self knows the nature of the self. When I say I know the sun means I also know actionlessness. Okay, I also know illumining is the nature of the self. Similarly, one who knows the self, the pure consciousness, he also knows what actionlessness is the nature of the self. All these days been talking about the atma, knowing is swarupam, knowing is swarupam, knowing is swarupam, atma is of the nature of knowledge. We've been repeating, dinning, So now we say here, atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Consciousness is of the nature of, the reality is of the nature of actionlessness. Why? Consciousness does not do any action. Consciousness just is. Consciousness does not even speak. That is why consciousness, the motionlessness, the actionlessness, the changelessness is what? In fact, silence is the nature of the consciousness. Consciousness cannot become silent. Why? We can't say it's already silent also. Why? Because silence is consciousness. Understand? Silence is very swarupam of consciousness. Implies actionlessness. So the one who knows I, the self, am the consciousness. The consciousness is not I. Consciousness is not I. But the I, everything is consciousness. So I always what? I don't say I am, I also is consciousness. Then one who knows can say, I, the self, am the consciousness. He knows that, So what action does consciousness do? Nothing. So actionlessness is what? Swarupam. So one who knows the actionlessness is very swarupam of consciousness. One who has resolved his identity with the self, such a person is free from the notion, I am the doer. Being free from the notion I am the doer is being free from doership. Being free from doership is what? Sarva karma sannyasaha. That is possible only for a jnani. Therefore, why self is not born? Ajaha is not born. Ajaha, unborn, birthless. Avyayaha is not subject to any decay or any decline. Any change. Avinashi, indestructible. Why? Destruction implies only, we already studied in the previous verses, there is no such thing called absolute total destruction at all. If at all there is something called destruction, there is only relative destruction. Relative destruction means only a change. One thing which existed in a given form, undergoes changes, continues to exist in a different form. And again, undergoes change and continues to exist in a different form. In this also we say this, energy gets exhausted, got destroyed for good. So this change of form is what? Birth of a new form, death of an old form. This is what is death. Therefore, death also is what? Only relative destruction. There is no such thing called absolute destruction at all. And this relative destruction is only there for the anatma and not for the atma. Therefore, atma is free from even relative destruction. Even anatma doesn't have any absolute destruction. Nothing is destroyed absolutely. Anatma is subject to relative destruction. Atma is not subject to even collective destruction. Therefore, Atma is always there. So, Avinashi. Why Avinashi? Why Ajaha? Why Avyaha? Because Atma is not subject to change. It is free from. Changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, actionlessness is the, you know, for something to be born, something to be, to undergo changes, something to be destroyed, or something, understand? And something to decay or etc., one, it must be undergoing changes. Because basically it is of nature of changelessness. Therefore, avyaha, avinashi, no? Atma. And one who knows this Atma is free from doership. That is what, such a person, how can he do any karma? That means what? How can one do any karma? The notion that I am the doer, I am the one who makes other person do. Is it okay? Okay, this is the meaning. Let us see the Bhashyam. So, Veda Vinashinam Iti.
Veda Vinashinam Iti.
Whenever, I want to tell you from the beginning, I never told you this before. Whenever any mantra, any shloka ends, and when the Bhashya begins with the first, you pick up the first word of the shloka or a mantra. In Upanishad, you pick up the first word of the mantra, shloka mantra. In Gita, Bhashya, we pick up the first word of the shloka. And you say, iti, Veda Vinashnam, iti, Veda Vinashnam, the first word of the mantra, shloka. And iti, this beginning of the Bhashyam of any verse, is called Pratika Grahanam. Pratika Grahanam means what? Okay, I remember all this thing only when I do Upanishad. That I should tell you here also. Pratika Grahanam. Okay, why he, Shankaracharya says, Veda Vinashanam Iti. Why does he begin like that? So, what is Pratika Grahanam? Picking up the first word of the verse and saying, I am going to comment upon this verse, is what? Okay? Pratika Grahanam. The iti shabdaha, whenever it is used with the first word of the mantra or a shloka, and when the commentary is followed, it is called Pratika Grahanam.
Veda.
Now, Veda is what? First word of the verse. And Shankara gives the meaning Vijanati.
Vijanati.
You know Vijanati. V is a prefix. Ja is the, that's like Gnya is the dhatuhu, root. And what is the verb here? Vijanati. Vijanati. Janati itself means knows. Vijanati knows what? Doubtlessly. You know, without any doubt. Clearly knows. Janati knows. Vijanati. Vijana knows. Who knows? She, okay, knows what? Yes, Avinashinam. Shankara's Bhashyam follows the order is followed as this in the Gita verse. Next word in the verse is what? Avinashinam.
Avinashinam.
See, I told you already, Avinashinam. See, Nashaha destruction, Vinashaha destruction. And Vinashaha yasya nasti saha avinashin. Avinashi. Nakarantaha pullingaha avinashi. Avinashin shabdaha. Dvitiyayam vibhakto eka vachane avinashinam iti rupam. In objective case it becomes what? Avinashinam. Okay. Him, the one who is indestructible. You say avinashinam. And here, this avinashinam implies what? Implies the nature of the self. Indestructibility is the nature of the self. Therefore, this is avinashi here is what? The self. Okay? The consciousness here. Avinashi. Then, avinashinam, indestructible, that which, okay? He, Shankara explains, antyabhava.
Antyabhava.
Okay, antya.
Antya.
Bhava vikara rahitam.
Bhava vikara rahitam.
See, bhava vikara rahitam. Bhava Vikaraha means what? Change, modification. Okay, everything is subject to change here. So Bhava Vikaraha. Listen. So Antya Bhava Vikaraha. Okay, the final change that takes place. There are so many changes. Birth. The six changes can take place maximum. But anything which is birth, okay? Birth itself is a change. Why? The whatever is born must have come into existence from something which existed before. Okay, out of nothing something cannot come into being. Therefore, birth itself is what? First change. Okay, janan jayate, then vardhate, then grows. Growth is another change. Okay, vardhate, then viparinamate, then metamorphosis. All different changes come there. Jayate, vardhate, no, viparinamate, apakshiyate, kshiyate, nashyati. And then slowly starts declining, then decays and disappears. Okay, this is called nashaha. Is what? Nashyati. Nashaha is the last change. Okay, there are possible six changes on every part of every object. Okay, so this last one is nashaha. Nashaha means what? Relative destruction. Understand? So nashaha, the antya bhava vikaraha. There are six bhava vikaraha, shad bhava vikaraha. Understand what of them? Asti, okay, vast jayate, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, kshiyate, nashyati. Shad bhavikaraha, okay, the six possible changes. And here, antya bhavikaraha is what? Nashaha, totally changing. Understand? And that change is what? It's not a change, not destruction, okay, relative change. Antya bhavikara rahitam. So rahita means devoid of. So that which is devoid of the last change, of the last of the six changes. Okay, relative destruction. That is free from the destruction, the relative change. Relative destruction is called change. Therefore, antya bhavika, antya last. Bhava vikara rahitaha atma. You are avinashi atma. Tam avinashnam antya bhava vikara rahitam atmanam. That's the meaning. Therefore, if it is antya bhava vikara rahitaha, what does it mean? It's free from all other bhava vikaras. Understand? Not only antya bhava vikaraha, it is free from all other sixfold modifications. All possible sixfold modifications. Then, therefore, it is what is it then? If it is free from all sixfold modifications and the last of the sixfold modifications, then what is it then? Nityaha. Next word. Look at this now. Nityaha. Nityaha means what? Nityaha is Atma. Nityam is an objective case. Nityam Atmanam. Okay. Nityaha. So, Viparinama Rahitam. Nityam means what? Viparinama Rahitam. Viparinama rahitaha. Nitya means what? Eternal. That which exists always. No change. So that which is free from any kind of change. Viparinamaha, always we say metamorphosis. Viparinamate. Where nam dhatu with the pari and new prefixes. Namati, parinamate, na, ever evolves. Parinam means evolution. And viparinamate, metamorphosis. What do you say? So, viparinama rahitaha. Atma. Yaha veda. Iti sambandaha.
Iti sambandaha.
So, what is the connection here? He says, so nityaha viparinama rahitaha is the meaning of the word nityaha. Yaha veda, he who knows. Yaha, you know the relative pronoun. Yaha veda, he who knows. Yaha vijanati. Okay, who knows? whom? The Atmanam, the Self, Enam. The word Enam is what? Objective of I am, Eshaha, this. One who, he who knows this Self. This means what here? The nearest to this is you, okay? The Self. One he who knows this nearest Self to be or as Avinashi, Ajaha, Avyayaha. You're going to see that following other words also. We are not at. Then, Yenam Purvena Mantrena Mukta Lakshanam. See, in Bhagavad Gita, because it is as great as Upanishad, though Bhagavad Gita is not a smriti, shruti, it is only a smriti, but still Bhagavad Gita is considered to be what? As great as shruti. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is in essence of the Shruti's essence. Essence of the Shruti is the essence of Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is also considered to be as great as Upanishad. Therefore, all the Bhagavad Gita shlokas are looked upon as what? Mantraha. So, he says here, evam purvena mantrena. Okay? Pura mantra means what? The previous mantra. What the previous shloka of the Gita. Purvena mantrena. By the previous verse. The previous verse, what is the previous verse? Najayate mriyate vakadachit. Is the previous mantra, previous shloka? Mantrena. Ukta lakshanam. Okay? The definition of the Self which has been, okay, said in the previous mantra, previous shloka. What has been previously said? That means what has been previously said is again mentioned here in this verse also. What is that? Ajam. Okay. Najayate. Listen. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. Okay. When you say najayate, very verse begins with najayate. It is not born. We saw that. The same uttalakshanam. Okay. The definition of Brahman, which is reality, which Self, which has already been said in the previous verse, again is mentioned here. Okay. That's what is said here. Purvena mantrena uttalakshanam. The nature of Brahman, which has been said in the previous verse, is brought in here as what? Ajam. Ajam is again objective of Ajaha. Na jayate iti Ajaha. That which is not born, birthless, is Ajaha. Ajam. So what Shankaracharya gives the meaning? Janma rahitam. So Ajaha is equal to Janma rahitaha. Understand? So, Janma Rahitaha, one who is devoid of birth, one who is free from birth, unborn. And this has already been said before the previous verse. So, he says, Purvena Mantrena Ukta Lakshanam. So, birthlessness and our eternity, nature of the Atma being birthlessness or eternity has already been mentioned in the previous verse, which is again mentioned here. The next verse, Avyayam.
Avyayam.
So, avyayam means what? Objective of avyayaha. So, the root here is, listen here carefully, vyeti. Vyeti, okay? Vyeti is the verb. Vyeti means what? Expense. Spense, okay? Expense. Vyeti. And vyeti also declines. That is why vyayaha means expenditure. Ayaha means income. Vyayaha means expenditure. Vyeti. But here, so avyayaha, indeclinable. Okay? That which is not subject to decay. Therefore, apakshaya rahitam. See, every word tells one thing. One bhavikara is brought in there. When you say avyayaha, apakshaya rahitaha. Apakshaya means what? Decay. Apakshaya means decay. What is the verb? Apakshiyate. Apakshaya. Okay, decays or decay. Apakshaya rahitaha. That which is devoid of decay. Apakshaya rahitaha. That means there is no change whatsoever. Katham.
Katham.
Kena prakarena.
Kena prakarena.
okay, in what form, how, in which way, okay, saha,
saha,
vidwan purushaha,
vidwan purushaha,
why, vidwan purushaha, veda, already we said one who knows, when you said vidwan, who is vidwan here? Vidwan means, vidvat means what? Vid means knowledge. One who has knowledge, one who is endowed with knowledge is what? Like buddhi, yasya asti, buddhiman, gunavan, dhanavan, shriman, like that, vidwan, okay? Vidvat. Vidwan means what? One who has knowledge is vidwan. So, jnani is vidwan here. So, vidwan, the jnani, vidwan purushaha, the person, the one who knows the self, what Shankara gives? Adhikritaha.
Adhikritaha
means what? One who has arrived at the self. One who has understood the self. People who talked about the self might not have arrived at the self. Without having stumbling upon the self, how can one talk about the self? Understand? That's why adhikritaha means exactly one who has stumbled upon. Okay? One who has touched. One who has arrived at. One who has known. The self is adhikritaha. Such a person knows the self. One who, suppose if the person, somebody says, I know, somebody knows the Atma, then he is free from doership. He would have resolved his identity with the self. Then he must be free from the notion that he is the doer. He is free from doership. Therefore, he cannot do any karma with the notion that I am the doer. Suppose somebody says, Atma is, that means he does not know the self. If somebody says, one who says, Atma is an act, Atma does karma. If somebody says, that means that person does not know the Atma. Therefore, Adhikritaha Purushaha means what? Adhikritaha is another word for Vidwan, Jnani. Such a person, Hanti. Hanana kriyam karoti. Katham kena prakarena saha vidwan purushaha adhikritaha purushaha hanti. Hanti means what? Shankaracharya means so simple. Hanti means kills enough. Hanana kriyam karoti. Why? Hananam, the act of killing. How can he do? How does he do? The act of killing, how can he do? Well, because doing any action implies one being endowed with the doership. Without the knowledge, without the notion that I am the doer, it's impossible for one to do any karma. And one who is free from the doership cannot do any karma. Therefore, katham va ghatayati. Ghatayati here means what? No, see, the ghataha means killing. Okay? Hanti, what is the causative of hanti? Ghatayati. How does you make one, activate one to the act of killing? Hantaram prayojayati.
Hantaram prayojayati.
See, how does he activate the killer? Okay. Na kathanchite,
na kathanchite,
kanchite,
kanchite,
hanti,
hanti.
Okay. Never does he kill. Satacha jnani. Never does he kill me. Never does he do any action. Never does he do any action. Nor does he kill anybody. Na kathanchite,
na kathanchite,
kanchite.
Ghatayati.
He never does he kill anybody, never does he activate anybody to kill, never does he do, okay, he cannot kill. It is repeatedly said here. Why? Because iti bhayatra akshepaha eva artaha. Prashna artha asambhavat. See, what will we do usually? Kam hanti, whom does he kill? Katham hanti, kam ghatayati, whom does he activate to kill, katam ghatayati, there are questions, understand. So, prashnartha asambhavat. Asambhava means what? It is impossible, okay? Prashnartha asambhavati, na sambhavati. Here, these questions should not be taken in the sense of questions. Then this question should be taken in the sense of what? Sense of objection. Okay? Akshepaha means objection. Akshepaarthe. Questions should be taken as objections. Objection means what? It is impossible for, when you say, is it possible to do something? No, it is impossible. It's objection. Okay? What is objected here? One is a jnani. At the same time, one who knows the Atma, and he also thinks, I am the doer. That is what is objected here. The person who knows the Atma cannot call himself the doer. Why? If he calls himself, still he calls himself a doer, he does not know the Atma. Knowing the Atma implies what? Knowing the nature of the Atma being actionlessness. Knowing the Atma being free from doership, not a doership, also free from enjoyership. We are going to see that later on. Therefore, so akshayaparthe prashnaha, here the questions are presented only in the sense of objection. Hetvarthasya cha avikriyatvasya tulyatvat vidushaha sarva karma pratishedaha eva prakaranartha. Okay, hetvarthasya avikriyatvasya means, what is the hetvartha? Why do we say Atma is free from actionless? Atma is free from actions, free from doership and enjoyership, because Atma Swarupam is actionlessness. Why do we say? Because Atma is not subject to any change. Avikriyatvam. Say that? Avikriyatvam. See, vikriyatvam means, okay, being subject to change. Avikriyatva means what? Changelessness. Due to the changelessness, okay, due to this Atma Swarupam being changelessness, no action is possible. Any action implies what? Some change. Because changelessness, avikriyatvam is the nature of the self. Changelessness is the nature of the self. Actionlessness becomes the nature of the self. That is what is the hetvartha here. Okay, actionlessness implies what? Changelessness. Therefore, vidushaha. Vidushaha means what here? For the vidwan. For the vidwan. Sarva karma pratishedaha eva prakaranartha. Prakaranartha means the what is implied here, what is said here is, for a jnani, no karma is possible. That means what? No karma is possible means actually the doership is not possible. Sarva karma pratishedaha. Okay. Sarvesham karmanam pratishedaha means what? Not only the act of killing, but jnani is free from the very notion that he is the doer. Therefore, no action can he do with the doership. Because he is very free from the very doership. Not only the act of killing. When you say any action for that matter. Abhipretaha bhagavataha. Abhipretaha means intended. Bhagavataha means what now? Shankara says, Krishna's intention here, what Krishna intends to say here is that Jnani, one Vidwan, Purushaha, who knows the self, is free from the doership because he knows the self being, okay, self is of the nature of actionlessness due to its nature of changelessness. Is it clear? I think I made it very clear. Hante hetu,
hante hetu,
akshepaha,
akshepaha.
Here, objection in terms of the act of killing is only udaharanatve, udaharanarthatvena kathitaha. It only for udaharanarthatvena kathitaha means what? It has been said here only as an example. Okay, only one action is mentioned as an example here. Why act of killing implies the death? Death is the big fear, no, for us. So what, take one action. Our Swamiji always says, knock off the, no, when there is some competition. Suppose you don't need to go and fight with all so many people who are in the, with the so many boxes come. Have you heard about, have you heard Swamiji saying this? Suppose there's so many boxes come, the first, you know, the local, the boxes, you knock them off, then you go to next, the best, better ones, the better ones, the better ones, and you go for district-wise, the state-wise, then the national-wise, the international level. You have to win. First, you participate in the international, you know, the boxes meet, you must have already been chosen as the national best of the national, the team. So you don't need to go and knock off one after the other, come to the one, okay? Knock off the internationally, internationally the best one, that means as good as knocking off all other best ones. Similar here, one action, knock off one, the notion, what? I am the killer. And the act of killing, if negated, it means all other actions also negated. It means what? Actionlessness is the nature of the Atma. Why? Because changelessness is the nature of the Atma. If change is the, if Atma is subject to some change, then it is possible for us to say Atma is subject to action. Understand? Therefore, one who knows the Swarupam of the Atma, knows Atma being changeless, I know the Atma being actionless. I want his sole identity with the Atma. He is free from the notion that I am the doer. Therefore, he is free from doership. Therefore, such a person cannot do any karma. Immediately, our buddhi will go differently. If that person does not do any action, means he doesn't do any action at all or what? Hey, what is sarva karma sannyasaha? He is not giving up the actions, but giving up the notion that I am the doing. This sarva karma sannyasa is going to talk about later on. Okay, let's go to the next part of the bhashyam. Do you find difficult, David? You can go to the chair.
No, I'm wrong.
Vidushaha.
Karma
asambhave.
Karma asambhave.
Hetu visesham pashyan.
Hetu visesham pashyan.
Karmani,
karmani
akshipati bhagavan,
akshipati bhagavan
katham sapurushaha iti,
katham sapurushaha iti.
So hetu visesham pashyan means what? What is hetu visesha here actually? When the person is free from the very notion that I am the doer, okay, it's impossible for him to do any karma with doership. Okay, with the notion that I am the doer. If a person knows the Atma, he knows the nature of the Atma being actionlessness, then it is important, okay, this person having the sole identity with the Atma. See, this all three things. Person knows the Atma. Therefore, he knows what? Knows the Atma Swarupam being actionlessness, the changelessness. Knowing the changelessness being Atma Swarupam, he also knows what? Actionlessness being the Swarupam of the Atma. Knowing the actionlessness being the Swarupam of the Atma, then having resolved the identity with the Atma, How can the person still say, I am the doer, I am the activator? It is impossible for him to have the notion that I am the doer. Therefore, Bhagavan Akshipati, he objects, Katham Saha Purushaha, and a Ghanti or Ghatayati, how can he do that? I mean, what? It's impossible. It is, I told you already, Akshaparthe Prashnaha, the Prashnarthe, is impossible for him to do that. Continue with that. Nanu Uktahayeva Atmanaha Abhikriyatvam Sarva Karma Asambhava Karana Viseshaha. See, Sarva Karma Asambhava Karana Viseshaha. See, Sarva Karma Asambhavaha. What is the reason for the impossibility of any action being there on the part of Atma? What is that? Avikriyatvam. Simple, already has been said. Uktaha eva, it has been already said. What has been said? Atmanaha. Avikriyatvam. The changelessness of the self. Changelessness being the nature of the Atma has already been said. That is the sarva karma asambhava karanam. Okay, no karma is possible on the part of the Atma. Okay, sarva karma asambhava. Okay, the impossibility of any action being there on the part of Atma. This is how it has been translated in English. Okay, sarva karma asambhava karanam. Why? What is there now? We say avikriyatvam. Changelessness is the cause. Changelessness is the nature, is the cause here to understand that Atma being free from all actions. Satyam uktaha.
Satyam uktaha.
See, what has been said is true. It's a fact. It's true. It's the truth. Shankara won't leave us, okay, if we don't understand it. He doesn't mind repeating, okay. We may feel tired of, how many times he repeats. You're going to see that Pishta Separationam is okay. You can, until clarity arises, dawns, you can keep on grinding the already ground, no problem. Natu. Saha karana viseshaha anyatvat vidushaha avikriyat atmanaha iti. See, always we cannot, there must have been people always now who always come with some crooked buddhi. Okay, having heard all these things, no? The objection comes. See, some Shankara himself comes as the person who objects. Okay, the one who knows the self being free from, the nature of the self being actionlessness, can still be the doer. By knowing the self, which is free from actionlessness, how can one become free from actions? How can one become free from dosha? Look at this. By knowing the Atma, knowing the Atma Swarupam, knowing the Atma being free from actions, knowing the Atma Swarupam being actionlessness, how does one become free from, the doership? How does one become free from the notion that I am the doer? What is the drishtantam he gives, example he gives? Suppose there is a sthanuhu, there's a post. Does the sthanuhu do any actions? Post stands like this. Post also is what now? Changeless. Akarta. That also is actionless. No action is there on the part of the post, which stands. So seeing the actionless post, can one become free from the doership, or the actions. That means what? The action, Atma is different from oneself, okay? That's the question. He simply creates some doubt. Shankara, one cannot be allowed to have any doubt. All the rest should be clear. Look at what he says. Nahi avikriyam sthanam viditavataha karma na sambhavati iti chet. So in front of you there is a sthanahu, there is a post. The sthanahu is what? Avikriyaha. It doesn't change. It doesn't undergo any changes. It doesn't do any action. But knowing that, vitavataha, okay, for the one who knows the post, being actionless, and karma na sambhavati chet, is it possible for one to see? It's like saying, okay, he becomes, no, then he is free from actions. The one who knows the actionless post, no, becomes free from actions. Is it like that? Iti chet, na. Not like that. Na. Shankara, he says, na, not like that. Not like that. How? Vidushaha atmatvat. Vidushaha atmatvat. The post is different from the vidushaha, the knower. But here the atma is not different from the knower. The knower is atma. Vidushaha atmatvat. Because the vidushaha, the knower himself is what? The atma. Isn't it? Somewhere we may be little different. Even though Asam, Siji, we've been talking so many verses. By knowing the Atma Sarupam, how can one become free from actionlessness? Why? By seeing the pose which is actionless, is it possible for one to become free from actions? No. It is not like knowing the actionless post, one becoming actionless. Here, knowing the nature of the self being free from actions, and that self is one's own self. Understand? Atmatvat. Okay, vidushaha atmatvat. Actionlessness is what? The nature of the self which is one's own self. Vidushaha, his own self. Vidushaha atmatvat is not different. Whereas, with reference to the post, actionless post, post is different from the knower. Whereas here, the knower is not different from the self. That is why knowing the self, knowing the nature of the self, knowing the self means knowing the nature of the self. Knowing the nature of the self means knowing one's own self being free from actionlessness. I mean, being actionless. One's own self being free from doership. Na dehadi sanghatasya vidvatta. So vidvatta means what? The knowledge. Okay? So here, dehadi sanghat, deha adi means what? Adi shabda stands for deha, manaha, buddhihi, pranaha, etc. Okay? Sanghataha, one who still has identity with the body, mind, sense complex, for him, vidvatta nasti. That means what? There is no knowledge. You can't say, one who has identity with the body, mind, sense complex, has the knowledge of the self. That means what? Even if you are studying Vedanta, even if you start understanding the self being distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, even if you know everything is the Atma, I have understood, but as long as, okay, one becomes contemplative, thereby one resolves the identity, with, even after having understood the self being pure consciousness, it is still possible for one to have the identity with the body, mind, sense complex because of the orientation, long old orientation. That's why contemplation is for what? To resolve this problem of the habitual error. As long as the habitual error is there, that means what? Because of the habit, old habit, still even though you know that, still you may have your own identity with the body mind complex. So he understand now? So dehadi sanghataha means what? One who still has identity with the body, mind, pranas, senses, okay, etc. Because of the lack of assimilated vision of the reality, there is no vidvata, even then we cannot call him a jnani. If a person has, he is not a vidwan, he has no knowledge, he is not a jnani, he is not wise. Why? He still has identity with the body mentions complex. Why he still has it? That means he doesn't have the ascertained vision of the reality. That means he does not know. If he knows, if he says, no, I have the ascertained vision of the reality with the self, which is free from action, which is free from doership and enjoyership, which is of the nature of actionlessness and changelessness, then such a person cannot, then he must have resolved his aham buddhi, okay, I notion in consciousness, the self, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Then he would have resolved his identity with the body. Understand, he can't have aham buddhi anymore in the body mind complex. Only then he can be free from doership and enjoyership. Then, that's why he says here, by seeing something like, it's not like seeing this sthanu in front of you, which is actionless, and one cannot become free from actions, free from the notion that he is the doer. Okay, because the what is of the reality, which is of the nature of actionlessness, is the very self. It's not different from the knower. Not like the sthanu. So dehadi sanghatasya na dehadi sanghatas vidvata. You know, he wants to be very emphatic, he begins with the na beginning. Okay, Shankara says, na dehadi sanghatasya vidvata. Dehadi sanghataha is one who has identity with the body, mind and complex. For him, there is no vidvata, there is no knowledge. Ataha pariseshyat asamhataha atma vidvan avikriyaha iti tasya vidushaha karma asambhavat akshepaha yuktaha. So what does he say here? Pariseshyat. Parisesha means what? Parisesha means the remaining. This is why you have to understand. You must have already understood the method. Drig drishya viveka prakriya. When we suppose the person being exposed to the traditional teaching, and he knows the Shastram says this is the only way. The self of the jagat is available for recognition as one's own self, as the meaning of the word I, for which you have to distinguish the self from the, you cannot divide, okay, you have to distinguish the self from the non-self. Why? All that is there is only the self. This is the fact. So you have to distinguish the self from the non-self. For which, what is the method we use? Drik drishya viveka prakriya, the method subject-object analysis. This is the only way you can distinguish the self, thereby arrive at the self being distinct, okay, from the non-self. So how do we... So when you use that methodology, what do? You negate the self being different from the non-self. How do you distinguish the self? Through the method of subject-object analysis, you distinguish the self from the non-self by negating the self being different from the non-self. Okay, how do you say? You negate the non-self as non-self, as an object. Then you first negate body as an object of knowledge, then pranas as an object of knowledge, then senses as an object of knowledge, then organs of action as object of knowledge, then you come to the mind, you negate the mind also as an object of knowledge, of the mind also negate every different thought as an object of knowledge, and you arrive at the knowledge that I am. At the dead end of the mind, you, then that also you analyze the other prakriya, other avasthatari prakriya, and you say there is a time when the knowledge that I am is there, there is a time when the knowledge that I am is not there. Therefore, the knowledge that I am also is object of knowledge. Understand? Everything is object of knowledge. So anything which is object of knowledge is non-self. Understand what you understood? The Atma is neither the subject nor the object, but Atma has to be arrived at, available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. Understand? Thereafter you say that only we don't mistake Atma as subject, okay? Atma is neither the subject nor the object, but Atma has to be arrived at, Atma has to be understood, Atma has to be, okay, recognized as the subject of knowledge. Available for recognition as a subject of knowledge. Then you say Atma is not subject also. But the subject is Atma, object also is Atma. You have to say that later on. Isn't it? So here it's called Parisesyat. You parisesha, you negate everything as object of knowledge. Then what is left behind? Subject. What is the subject here? The knower. What is the knower? Who is the knower there? When nothing is there, the knowledge that I am also is not there, then there is something which is, because the persons of which the knowledge that I am being not there is known. The same thing is there in waking state, knowing the knowledge that I am being there. That knower is consciousness. In fact, consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness. Why? Because knowing is not an action, it is a very sarupam. From the standpoint of the known object, okay, so we say the knower is consciousness. Really speaking, there is no knower, there is only pure knowledge. The knower, the status of being the knower is attributed to the self, the standpoint of the known. Jnatrutvam is aropyate. It's called parisesha. Parisesyat means what? When everything, you know, when you understand this, what remains is asamhataha atma, the distinct atma, which is distinguished from the distinct atma, which is distinguished from the non-self, as the pure self, is what? When you understand that self is of the nature of actionlessness. Is it clear now? How beautifully he presents. So one word, you know, we had, see, that's what I'm saying, that you don't know the technical terms. You can't understand here. Parisesya. What is parisesya? What remains? Okay, what remains at last, which, you know, without being negated as the non-self. There is something which remains unnegatably, which is there without being negated as an object, which cannot be negated anymore as an object of knowledge. There is something which remains at last. That is what is what? Pure knowledge. That is why I said subject. And that which is there, with that which remains without being negated as the non-self, without being negated as an object of knowledge, which remains at the last, okay, the subject of knowledge, is the Atma, and that Atma is what? Free from all action. That Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, that Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. And one who knows that Atma, and thereby one has a sort of identity with that Atma, and the self, the actionless self, becomes free from doership and enjoyership. Have I made it very clear or not? If you have any doubt, you can ask me later on. But until I finish, you should listen. So, అతః శంకరాచార్య సేస్ అతః దేర్ఫోర్ వాట్ పారిశేష్యాంత్ అసంహతః ఆత్మా. అసంహతః ఆత్మా మీన్స్ ది ఆత్మా విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఐడెంటిఫైడ్ విత్ ది బాడీ మెన్షన్స్ కాంప్లెక్స్ అండ్ సో విచ్ హెస్ బీన్ అరైవ్డ్ అట్ లాస్ట్ as a subject without being negated as an object of knowledge is the parisesha asamhatah atma and sat atma is avikriyah is subject is free from changes iti tasya vidushah one who knows such that self tasya vidushah for such a gyani karma asambhavat such a gyani karma is asambhavam is not that for such a person it is impossible to have doership, to have the notion that I am the doer. Therefore akshepaha yuktaha, it is appropriate to object saying what katham saha purushaha ghatayati, katham saha purushaha hanti, katham saha purushaha ghatayati, how does that person kill, whom does that person kill, iti objection is proper, appropriate with reference to that jnani. Yatha, it is mostly, these objections are mainly for the Vaidikas in India, okay. Vaidikas means what? I mean, all of us are Vaidikas. I tell you, this is a big thing here. Because before I go to this context, I have to tell you something more here, in this context. Here the objection is going to be raised. The jnani who knows the nature of the self, being actionlessness, has dissolved the identity with that self, becomes free from the notion that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, therefore he is free from doership. So it is not possible for him to do any karma with the notion that I am the doer. But he will be doing without the notion. Therefore, then does it mean that he will not do any action at all? Does it mean that he should not do any action at all? Does it mean he remains always, he's sitting like a big stone or what? No? No. Still he'll be active. You're going to see that later on. All the vidwan also karma karoti. Avidwan also karma karoti. Nagyani karma karoti. Jnani also karma karoti. Jnani performs actions. Agyani also performs actions. But what is that which makes the agyani an akarta, non-doer, is the notion. What is the notion? The jnani is free from the notion that I am the doer. Agyani still has the notion that I am the doer. Why does agyani has the notion that I am the doer? Because he still has identity with the body, mind, sense complex. The jnani does not have identity with the body, mind, sense complex. Okay, he has identified this with himself with the Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness. And the second thing, for him the body, mind, self, all the Anatma also has been identified as the self. Understand? Everything is the self for him, but he knows the Atma Swarupam. Anatma is nothing but the Atma is not Anatma. Okay, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, therefore he is free from the notion that he is the doer. But it does not mean that he has given up the actions. Still he will be doing whatever he has to be doing to live his Paradha, whatever is ordained by the Paradha he will be doing. That Davish is going to come. And there are fire rituals, the Vaidika Karmani. Vaidika Karmani means there are lot of different, you know, the fire rituals which have been prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. They are known as Vaidika Karmani for accomplishing different rents, different types of artha, kama, dharma, different types of ends to accomplish. Many rituals have been prescribed in the Karmakanda, and especially when a person gets married. As when he enters into a grihastha ashrama, the very first day he starts doing his Agnihotram karma. and that day onward he has to be doing Agnihotra karma throughout, and he is called Agnihotri also. Understand? At least whether he does other karmas or not, he has to do Agnihotra karma. So the fire rituals are all karmas. The sacred karma and secular karma. Of course, everyone has to do the secular. All our eating, going, coming and socializing, these things. Sacred karma means what? The religious activity, in the form of worship. Also these karma, the fire rituals. They have to be doing. Lot of things have to be done. But Shastram says here, this person may be doing other things, but definitely the jnani need not do any more Vaidikam karma. Because you don't have the problem, okay? You don't have the problem. That's what I want to tell you here. It's more relevant for the people. But still, anyway, it gives a lot of clarity to understand that culture also is good for your own clarity. By how Shankaracharya creates all possible doubts and he clarifies, no doubt can ever be there. Because, it has been prescribed in the Veda. Because, okay, whatever it is, he jnani need not do, does not do, need not, does the pressure of wanting to do any Vaidikam karma, secular karma or sacred karma. And when you say Vaidikaha, and the question becomes, who is a Vaidikaha? And many people think only Vaidikas means people who have some tuft hair and who have some Yajnavita thread, sacred thread, and who has some different type of, who wear dhoti, they are the Vaidikas. Even Indians have many people who think that way. Vaidikaha means anything pertaining to Veda is called Vaidika. When I say the Dharmaha, suppose Sanatanaha Dharmaha, suppose eternal way of life, then it is what? Vaidikaha Dharmaha, the way of life prescribed or revealed, enjoined by the Veda, is called what? Vaidikaha Dharmaha. Okay, Sanatanaha Dharmaha. And anything pertaining to Veda is called Vaidika. The one who has faith in the words of Veda is what? Is a Vaidikaha. Need not be the one performer of rituals every day. Need not be this, the one who chants the Veda every day. All the Vaidikas in India are supposed to be studying and chanting Vedas, etc. That's a different thing, doing or not, that's a different thing. But here, who is a Vaidika? The Vaidika need not be the one who performs the Vedic rituals. Need not be the one, it's not the only who chants the Vedas every day. Whoever lives a life of Dharma, Kalvyakaiva Karma Yoga, enjoined by the Veda, is a Vaidika. So all are Vaidikas. Whoever lives a life of Karma Yoga with Purushartha Nischaya. Whoever has Purushartha Nischaya, whoever has knows the value of knowledge, and whoever is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and whoever knows the importance of becoming mentally pure and steady, and whoever lives a life of karma yoga, dharma governed life, prayerfully, worshipfully, is the one who lives a life enjoined by Veda. He is a Vaidikaha. Understand? When I say Vaidikam karma, don't need to get things. That's right. Just for all our Vaidikas. Whoever is, okay, if moksha is the purushartha and jnanam is the only sadhanam for that, if we know that, jnanam eva moksha if we know, and if you commit yourself to live like dharma, or your Vaidika. You do not know Veda also. That is for the actual, the word Vaidika. So here, but before that, and the question comes,
yatha
बुद्ध्यादि आहृतस्य शब्दादि अर्थस्य अविक्रियः एव अविक्रियः एव सन् बुद्धि वृत्ति बुद्धिवृत्ति अविवेक அவிவேக விஞ்ஞானேன அவித்யயா உபலப்த்வா ஆத்மா கல்ப்யதே ஏவம் ஏவமேவ ஆத்ம அநாத்ம விவேக ஞானேன புத்தி விருத்யா வித்யயா அசத்ய ரூபயா ஏவ பரமார்த்ததஹ அவிக்ரிஹ ஏவ ஆத்மா வித்வான் உச்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி.